Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel and the 50-Minute Rev. I hope you guys are having a great Friday. Getting you revved up for the weekend, and I hope you've had a great week this week. I've got quite a bit to talk to you about today. I think I'm going to fade this out and get started. I've kind of got some intense information. I put a warning on this as adult content that we're going to be talking about today. And I actually didn't intend on talking about this, actually. But before we start, I'm going to give you an update about what's coming at you through witchcraft this week. If you haven't been tracking with the prophets, you should probably already know that a lot of the prophets are saying this is going to be an intense year. It's going to be a lot of good happening, but some really trying things happening as well for us as we move in through 2022 as front runners and intercessors. But what's going on in your world right now? And I brought a little bit of this information forward to our teams this morning, and trying to help them realize what God is doing right now. We're moving into a season where God is really seemingly doing a separation between the things of the spirit and the things of the flesh. That's the message that I've been getting all week this week. Talking about the Tower of Babel. That's what the Lord's been talking to me about, the Tower of Babel. Been talking to me about things that are man-made versus things that are God-made. And everything up until this point, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your life personally, relationships, everything. Anything that you've tried to force to happen, or even through the Word, where you've tried to put your belief in you're saying faith behind the Word of God, but maybe you're operating in a spirit of Jezebel, abusing the Word of God to build things for the enemy, the enemy's way instead of God's way. Those things are built in the sand. They'll crumble this year. They're all going to be crumbling this year. And so that's what I've been hearing this week with regard to that. As far as warfare, it's all about getting cleaned up so that you don't have to take a whole lot of warfare, believe it or not. And there is a way to do that. There's a way to do that by getting deliverance and being obedient when God puts his finger on things, which brings me to the content today. And I think I'm going to give you a little bit of insight about me, first of all, so that I can move some things out of the way, because I know that there are people that watch this that are in my past, from past churches, things like that I've attended. And so I'm going to jump into that really quickly. So it'll give you kind of a foundation about how I got where I'm at and walking into the topic matter that I'm going to discuss. I actually, again, did not intend on this going this way. I believe that God is dealing with some really hard issues in the church right now to force deliverance and to give people time to change before he drops the hammer on a few things. And, I think the church has overlooked a lot of bad behaviors. And granted, you know, my past that I'm fixing to talk about is not that pristine. But, and you'll understand better when I get into the information. But when you come into God's house, I believe that there should be honor. And I bring that from a military family, because that's one thing I love about the military, is it teaches honor and respect for self and for others. That's the one thing I love about the military. It teaches teamwork. It teaches especially teamwork, because we learn as we work as a team that we're not lone islands in and of ourselves. My father didn't teach me that a million times. He told me probably 10 million times, you're not an island in and of yourself, Missy. And so I grew up knowing these truths. But when I came into the church, I found a whole lot of things. And I believe God brought me back into the church to see that, because I've been raised around a whole lot of love, a lot of deep love. My family house is a gift of love. We're not perfect people. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. That's the only difference. But at the same time, humble enough, hopefully, to honor our faults and own our stuff, to where maybe we can help other people not make the same mistakes. But when I came back into the church before that point, to give you a little bit short synopsis of my background, I had been sexually abused as a young kid. I'm not ashamed of that. It's something that happened to me outside of my control. It's something that's happened to a lot of women in today's society, and a lot of people just don't talk about it. And what I found is that a lot of people don't talk about this in the church. And I'm not going to stay stuck on that and dwell on that. But what it did to me was that it gave me a wrong perception of love when my family had been given a gift of love. So the enemy came in to pervert the gift, basically, to make me think sex was love and love was sex, and that love was abusive, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a lot of what I think a lot of women are raised up in right now, in misconstruing love. So fast forward, that takes me forward. It develops into an eating disorder because I was out of control of my body and what was happening to me for 3 years of my life, from the ages of 7 to 10 years old. And then I was in control of eating. So I could be fat or I could be skinny, but I was in control of my body and how that happened. Fast forward, and that takes me into addictions and compulsions, trying to numb my pain. A lot of people get caught up in that when they've gone through trauma of their past. And then trying to fill the void, I think, with other relationships because you don't know how to have healthy relationships because of the trauma. Then you fast forward, and it can take you downward, or you can run to Christ and hopefully get better and not bitter. God had enough mercy for me because it actually took me into the film and TV industry where it got worse before it got better. And then I was getting into extreme rebellion, I'm not going to say extreme drug usage. I was dabbling, but my drug of choice at the time was alcohol. But at the same time, promiscuity at the same time, all that going on there because I didn't know better. And I was trying to numb myself and numb the pain and try to find answers as to what had happened to me, why my relationships weren't working out. And then God takes my dad home, which thrust me back into church. Now imagine what I thought when I walked back into church and I'm seeing the church operate the same way I was out in the world. I'm not judging you. I'm just putting it all out there for all my past people who've gone to a certain church. Don't make me say your name on here, because I certainly will, because today I'm going to lay it all out. But who judge people, and they act like the same, they act, if not like a son of hell, but twice the son of hell that I was acting like in the world. But I'm honest enough to tell you my background. I don't have anything to hide. I'm telling you that because of where God's brought me out of. But this is a topic today. The topic actually for the 15-minute rev is called Dishonor, Breaking Demonic Cycles, Moving Back into Honor, and Silencing Slander. Okay. And I think a lot of the problems in the church in this day and time deal with the fact that so many people won't deal with hard issues. They won't talk about them. They run away from them. I notice when people get on here, they get off because it makes them feel really, oh God, she's going to be one of those. No, I'm not. I'm just shooting straight up with you. If we cannot talk about issues, you will not get better. You will not get better. And these are the same obstacles that I ran into in the church when I first went back to church. And I was always taught to be very honest and taught to talk about different things and deal with my brothers. If you have bought with your brother, you deal with it before the sun goes down. And it teaches us to have very genuine relationships. I don't operate in shame. I'm not ashamed of my past. It's a part of what I went through, not who I am, nor is yours. So I don't let people lock me into their false ideologies that they think they know about me. We don't know anything about anybody's heart unless God shows us. Bottom line. So with regard to that, you know, it moves us into the topic, which is going to get kind of hairy today. But I'm going to jump into this because I've had some crazy stuff happen to me that God wants to put his finger on in the church. And it actually revolves around the story of Genesis 16, 1 through 18, 15. And it started off really kind of light and airy, if you will, talking about faith and patience always going together. When we start building something, when we start working with God on something, I don't care what your dream is, what your goal is, if you're going to build with God, you got to deal with your heart first. You got to get some of the gunk out of your heart, because your heart will get in the way of your building process. And sometimes you can build the wrong things. And sometimes our past can hinder our building process. You follow me? Sometimes we think that we're pursuing the right avenue and the right things, and it's all based in the flesh, all based on what's driving us in our past. It's all based on the things that aren't good and pure and lovely, but we think that they are because we've grown so familiar with them. But Genesis 16:1, it says, whoever believes will not act hastily. And when we walk by sight and not by faith, we get impatient and can create Ishmaels. And then we try to hide our blunders out of our shame for having not listened to God. And so this exact thing happened to Ishmael and Hagar back when Sarah and Abraham decided they had to create their own blessing. They were going to have a son. They were told they were going to have a son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And they were given all these prophecies, but the biggest one was that they wanted a son. So God promised them their Isaac. They just didn't know when. They didn't know how. And they hadn't dealt with their heart condition yet. And they wouldn't find out probably. Well, they didn't find out for about 30 years, I believe. And then they decided to help God out by making Hagar sleep with Abraham, and they created an Ishmael. And they spent the next 17 years punishing Hagar by treating her. I'm going to use some words you may not like, but they treated her like an H-W-H-O-R-E because they had made her sleep with Abraham, trying to help God out, all in their attempts to fill a void and to try to make up for whatever they felt like they were lacking. And in their self-anger, they began to mistreat Hagar and her son because of the situation they created. How many people have fallen victim to other people's weaknesses because of their unmet needs or because of their unhappiness that they're experiencing in relationship? Hi, guys. I just saw you down here. It's good to see everybody this afternoon. But how many people have fallen prey to another person's dysfunction in the church or in the world, in your families, because of things that they're experiencing? And here you walk in your pureness of heart, and you're aimlessly trusting everybody to do what you think is right or what you think that they know is right, and they're going to do what's right in their own eyes because they want what they want, and to heck with whoever it affects. How many of you felt like that? Because I can definitely raise my hand. I've experienced it in family. I've experienced it in jobs. I've definitely experienced it in church, which is what God's going to put his finger on today. But instead of Abraham becoming a spiritual father, he could have been a great spiritual father to Hagar. He could have been a phenomenal spiritual father. But instead he chose to satisfy the lust of his flesh in his attempt to make a blessing himself. That's a lust of the flesh, which created one of the biggest mistakes of his life. Not to mention bringing a lot of pain to another woman and a son that didn't ask to be born. How many people have done that? So this is how narcissism is created, by the way. It's how Jezebel and Leviathan comes in after mistakes that we choose to make because we chose not to listen to God. It's going to be a hard conversation. It may make you think, oh, I can't believe she's talking about this on here. I can't believe we have not had the conversation long before now. But these are things that I've actually experienced in church in my 35 years of being back in church. And I sit there and I shake my head. And then let me preface the conversation with this too. I knew after I had been sexually abused that I was so screwed up after my dad died. I knew that. My relationships weren't going well. My picker was off, if you call it. I was picking the wrong men because of my heart condition. And I made I stopped dating, basically. I made myself stop dating. And I told the Lord 25 years ago, because I got so sick and tired of all the dysfunction, I said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm willing to stop dating, period, until you bring the person that you have for me. And that's been 25 years ago. And I have no regrets in doing that. Zero. Because before that point, I was trying to bring my loose behaviors into the church. And I'm not ashamed of it. I was doing what I had only known all my life because of abuse. But then, you know, when you decide to serve God and try to live life God's way, and you're going to make mistakes along the way, but it's time to put some things down. You have to put some things down in order to come up into higher level living. And so that's where God entered me into. So the narcissism, the Jezebelian spirit, and the Leviathan started coming across my path by my encounters with various members of the church and in jobs. They were everywhere. Instead of people owning their mistakes and admitting their wrongs and repenting, they begin to abuse those in their surroundings. And unfortunately, in some of those situations, I was caught up in that. Not quite like Hagar. Luckily enough, not to get involved in that. Not like I couldn't have as well as anybody else, because we see it going on around us. But we see it everywhere we go right now. It's in both governmental parties right now. We see it on every mountain. We see it in education. We see it in media. We see it going on everywhere right now. And if we're going to be who we say we are, then the change has to start with us. The change has to start with us getting honest with ourselves about our own heart conditions. Quit passing the buck. Quit dismissing your own bad habits and allow yourself to listen to the Lord and let Him start setting us free in some areas. So we quit abusing each other. But the perpetrators, who were Abraham and Sarah, got caught and are now operating in a spirit of Leviathan, twisting the narrative as though the wrong has been committed against them. They started abusing Hagar. They kicked her out. They made her leave. Sarah made her leave because she was a constant reminder of her own bad choices and letting another woman sleep with her husband. How foolish are you, thinking that that's not going to change things between the two of you? Come on. Or allowing the misgivings of her husband, thinking that this, I don't know what her motive was. I don't even know what her thinking was in this, except that I think that she wanted a child so bad and he wanted a child so bad that they thought, well, this won't hurt anything. We'll just speed the process along. Fast forward. Another example of this in the church would be with leaders. Ladies, have you ever met a member of a church or a leader who struggle with the spirit of lust? Let's talk about it. This is the hot topic today. This is what I've seen in the church. This is when I was thinner. This is what I experienced, by the way. They were either unhappily married, unsatisfied in those marriages and relationships, unsatisfied in their lives, lonely, could have been lonely, power hungry. They'd gotten away with their misgivings for so long because they hadn't exhausted God's grace yet. And then here comes some single girl or a woman looking for a spiritual father, and the devil takes the opportunity to twist the narrative through a perverse heart, a heart that refuses to deal with its own shortcomings. I've seen this so many times. I've seen this, and I could name big names, big name platforms who have done this to me. When I've gone in, and thank the Lord for good friends, man. Thank the Lord for good friends. And so anyway, these women come in, like myself or yourself, even for that matter. And the real perpetrator are the people in power. And they've gotten away with this for so long with abusing the power that they think God's not noticing anything. Where these types of speakers gather groupies online. Oh, I'll go there. Let's go there. I had known a woman one time, this is a bunny trail, but on the same vein, where a woman had befriended me because of the anointing on my life and asked me to pray with her. And the whole time I knew her, probably was about a short 6 months, but she was telling me, you know, God's told me I'm going to marry this speaker. And I said, you are? She said, yeah, I'm going to marry this speaker. And she would tell me about this, and I started getting this check in my spirit. And I said, well, who do you think you're going to marry? And she was married herself. Well, that was my first red flag. And this is what I'm talking about, dealing with your heart conditions. But then she tells me, I'm going to marry this particular big speaker who's already married. And I said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? I said, not only the fact are you so off base because you're married. I said, and then she's getting me to pray. And I'm thinking, I don't feel comfortable. And I had to address that. I said, you know what? This is not God. You are not of God. This is Jezebel. You are a Jezebel. And I said, don't ever call me again. Don't. Because you're so not of God and you're so being deceived right now. Not to mention the fact that there's no telling what you're praying behind the scenes against this man and his wife. And they were experiencing marital problems. So guess what I had to go do at that point? It's insane. It's freaking insane. But this is the kind of crap that goes on in the church. And nobody talks about it. Well, I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it because I'm sick of it. So I had to contact the speaker who was gracious enough to hear me out. And I said, sir, I've noticed because I saw it online. And he heads up a major ministry today. And people don't understand that if you allow this crap in around you, these crazy unhealed people around you who refuse to deal with your own heart or deal with their own hearts, you invite the devil into your house. So I had to tell him, I said, this is the reason why I believe you're having, no, not that it's my business, but I'm seeing a lot of warfare around you, and she's praying this on you. She met you in a job at one time that she said she worked with you, and that's between you and her, but you need to know this. They've never had a problem since. This is unbelievable. So that's just one avenue. Let's get back on the mainstream of what I've even gone through. So these dysfunctional women come in looking for a hero or another woman's husband. That's a wrong thing to do to a Christian woman who's Southern. I'm just going to tell you, that's the wrong thing. We'll fly across the table and teach you a few things. If you're disrespectful to our relationships, that's dishonor. That's dishonoring. And if you're single and you're doing that, you're dishonorable. God's not going to give you anybody of your own because you don't know how to respect other people's boundaries, let alone your own, respecting yourself. So, these are the things that I've seen in church. These are part of the problems I'm seeing even with male leaders with lust problems or women leaders with lust problems, people in church with lust problems. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's an honor problem. People coming up, I've had male leaders come up alongside of me at conferences. When I didn't reciprocate, they would flirt with you because I don't know what it does for their ego, but, and I'm very old fashioned. I'm very old fashioned. I am a one man woman for that matter. But if I were to be married, I am so loyal to people that I don't know how, that's just the way God made me, where I don't have eyes for anybody else. And I assume everybody else is the same way. Not true. Do you know how these Ishmaels get created in church and why people are so unhappily married? Because you've created it yourself. You thought you heard God when you were operating in the lust of the flesh and you started praying against someone's will. I heard a leader one time, I'm not picking on leaders, I'm just pointing out the facts and what they've said with their own mouth. And this one leader said, well, I met my wife and I told the Lord I wanted her. Well, what if she doesn't want you? What if she doesn't want you? What about her will? Or what about people's will? So they get involved in praying for people against people's will. Pardon me, that's called witchcraft prayers, by the way. And then they get involved in these marriages that are horrible and they're unhappy. and they start abusing each other, and then they start looking and straying and getting other people involved in their garbage. I told you this is adult content today. And this leader was a big evangelist, by the way. Mm-hmm. A big evangelist. Ended up dragging another innocent person into that marriage, divorcing the first wife, marrying the second one, ruined their ministry. It's never been the same since. This is serious. And all for ego. Okay, so in my situation, I've literally had leaders come up to me and try to flirt. And when it wasn't reciprocated, they're embarrassed or offended. And then they get up in their pulpits and try to twist the narrative. That's Leviathan. Like, you have the problem. And they try to act like they're addressing Jezebel. Point that finger back at you. You're the Jezebel. Don't point your finger and don't project your garbage on innocent people who didn't reciprocate your advances, because they're not interested. They're not interested. And if you had more respect for your wife, you'd get your butt into deliverance ministry, into counseling, and try to fix what God's already given you. It's offensive to some of us. It's offensive. It's offensive because it's wrongful accusation. It's people not owning their crap and trying to pour their crap all over other people because of their own pride. And this is also why good leaders need great armor bearers to keep these types in check. If you're a good leader, you keep an armor bearer really close to you at all times. You do. They hold you accountable, and you keep other accountability even closer. I'm very close to all my accountability. I'm very close friends with them, and they don't have a problem with pinning my ears back. And I love that. Some days I hate it, but I'm always grateful for it. Always very, and I'm not a perfect person, by the way. I get called on the carpet. Not hopefully for that, but too busy to get caught up into that. But I don't have patience for that. I don't have respect for that because of my background in dealing with sexual issues and seeing how perverse people can be. People are weird when it comes to sexual issues. If you've got a sexual issue, get your butt in deliverance ministry. Quit acting like you're all that when you've really got that going on in your life. And quit projecting it off on innocent sheep. It's BS, and I'll call it what it is. So, now that I've said that, let's get into getting a better grip on our desires or people's weaknesses in this hour, because this is becoming a problem. If you want to walk in honor, and God's cleaning house, if you haven't noticed, to deal with that. There are a few leaders that I could name on here that I absolutely love. I really do. They have weaknesses, but they're good men. I'll name their names. Dr. Ron Horner, Dr. Mark Sharona, to name a few. Men who are honoring of God, and so are their wives. Kent Christmas. I know you say you're not supposed to mention names, but these are the men who really I see walking in honor and integrity right now. Honor. And they don't put up with that crap. They address it head on. All of them. Not to put people on the spot. If you hear that, please forgive me for mentioning your name, but God put you on my heart. I'm honoring each one of you. But frankly, I think it's time that we start cleaning up things and start dealing with the spirit of Jezebel. Revelations 2:20 states where God said, I have this one thing against you, that you tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. These are the things that Jezebel brings into the church. It defiles the whole body, and you can pollute an entire people group. You want to know why? Because what Abraham and Sarah didn't understand is by inviting, I would even, anybody that would participate in that, if you want to call that type of behavior, is a type of Jezebel, but so are the people who want to activate it, if you will, or who want to step into it, who conceive the idea of thinking that it's okay to bring in a concubine, thinking that it's okay to do these perverse things in front of a holy God, because Jezebel has a capacity, if it makes it up into leadership, why do you think it made it up into the highest office of the land? Washington, D.C. is the head of the nation. Florida and California, the feet of the nation. Texas is the womb of the nation. Kansas City is the heart of the nation. When I saw Jezebel being released out and trying to climb up into higher platforms, that spirit's main objective is to pollute an entire people group. How does it do it? On its words. On every word that comes out of its mouth. It's filled with guile and bitterness. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. So bitterness is the gatekeeper for this demon that helps to pollute a prophet's atmospheres. That's its main objective, because the prophets are the eyes of Jesus. So it goes after the true prophets in its attempt to hinder the people of God from knowing the way in which they're to walk. If a prophet's gifts are polluted, or if its atmosphere is polluted by witchcraft, which is released by Jezebel, the body walks blindly. That's the objective. That's why it's so important that we guard. If you're a leader, you guard your relationships, you guard your atmospheres, and you guard yourself from getting caught up in the spirit's perversion by not owning your own stuff. Own your stuff. Oh, my Lord. I do thank God for honorable men and women of God, and I love them. Some of them, I make some of them uncomfortable with my brashness and my bluntness, but I'm just being who God made me to be. This is my calling, to call this stuff out. And I don't like it any more than other people like hearing it, but I'm just obeying. But the Lord's saying in this hour, if you don't have self-control, don't blame other people for your lack of self-control. And definitely you don't ever want to wrongly accuse somebody who's innocent of something you've done yourself for fear of it getting back to your wives. Because I'll call them myself if you do it to me. I'll call them and say, your husband has a problem with this. I'll bring it to your church leadership's attention. It's not right. It's not right. You don't have the right to put people in that position. So, it's up to all of us to get our hearts cleaned up and have the best of intentions towards each other, but more importantly, to honor boundaries, honor ourself, and honor other people's covenants. You may have not been called into a covenant yet if you're single, but if you don't know how to keep control of yourself before you ever enter in, why would God allow you to go there? That's just foolishness. Oh, we're at 34 minutes. I need to hurry up. And again, I want to warn you, because Christian women, if you're worth your salt as a Christian woman, which I know a lot of you are, and you've got someone screwed up enough to try to hit on your guy or hit on your spouse, that could land that person in the hospital. You need to know that, because we're living in those times where God, the body of Christ is sick and tired of the garbage. We're sick and tired of it. We're not living your lie with you. We're not putting up with your messed upness anymore. We want people to start walking in truth and justice and in honor, and being who they say that they are. Because Christian women, I'm telling you, they'll beat your you-know-whatty if you disrespect their families. The ones that I know will. I'm telling you. They will. So when we honor others as God honors, we begin to have that spirit develop around us. Whether it be in a ministry of family, in your leadership, with your bosses, and then God can trust you with the Isaacs that he wants to give to you. It's being men and women after God's own heart. It's being the good, the pure, and the lovely. That's what the military instills, and that's why I've always talked about the military. That's the one thing I've always noticed when I went out to visit my dad and my mom. We always spent a lot of time having lunches together and things. but there was a sense of honor and nobility and integrity. And at one time, it even extended into our police force. There wasn't as much corruption there. And I'm pro-police, don't get me wrong. Into our fire department. There was such a sense of honor in public service. But if you have no control and go after everything in the flesh just because you haven't gotten caught yet, God knows. And let me back this up by telling you, this is a season where all houses are fixing to come down that have been built by man or that are operating in corruption or anything not of God, because God's looking for honor and integrity, not religion or a wannabe man or a woman, but he's looking for men and women who truly represent goodness and truth. And they don't make excuses for their shortcomings. They deal with them in order to maintain covenant with him, with each other, meaning that they respect themselves and they respect others, but yet more importantly, they respect him. They respect him. There's a fear of the Lord, a true fear of the Lord. If this conversation makes you uncomfortable, then maybe it's time to do a heart check. Maybe it's time to do a heart check. Because this is the place that we should have been a long time ago. Had we been attentive? Had we been attentive in our churches and listening to the true prophets? We would have been dealing with the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab, and would have been kicking these things out long before now. Long before now. But it's time to quit blaming others for the wrongs we perpetuate. Because in this season, the only thing that will promote you is pure-hearted honor. That's where he's taking us. So that brings us to Matthew 6, 1 through 24, where it talks about giving, which depends upon the intent of the heart, and three other things. Giving is how you give and what you give. Okay? Doesn't matter what position you hold, how you give it and what you give out is going to really show the people that you're giving to, your motives. It also depends on your heart, the heart you're giving to, and how it interprets your giving. Is that a healthy heart? And is your heart motives healthy? And what are the motives behind your giving? Whether it be in prophecy, advice, prayer, leading, money, you label it. What are your motives? It's time to check your motives, leader or follower. If you're thinking you're going to come up alongside and help a leader, and yet your motives are to steal another man's wife or another woman's husband or to try to steal the pulpit, I don't know what your motives are. You label it, but God's fixing to find you out if you don't. This is that time. It's this last hurrah before he exposes you. He's giving you a fair warning, because we should only give to please God, and then afterwards we receive his praise. If you give only to let people see who you are or to garnish unsolicited attention for yourself, then you'll forfeit any blessing God had in mind to give to you. So we don't get our reward twice, which means we need to make up our minds as right now as to which one we want. You either want temporal satisfaction, which is usually derived through wrong motives and sin, or genuine praise, which guarantees God's blessing because it's given in pureness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then you got prayer. If your public praying doesn't match your private praying, then you won't be effective. Bottom line. Our private praying, honestly, should be in secret. And it should be consistent. And it should follow a pattern. It should follow the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. That's a pattern. That's an outline. You start with God first. You revere God. You ask for forgiveness. You lift up the prayers of others. And guess what? You're last on the list. That's the pattern. And it should be that way all the time. to get your eyes off self. Because then maybe we wouldn't get so caught up in all these other cockeyed behaviors that we're seeing going on in the world and in the church, especially right now. But the Lord's Prayer is a pattern of how prayer follows the Lord's concerns first, and it doesn't forget to forgive other people, even yourself. And then we're going to talk about possessions. And you know, I know we all need things to live, but the Lord's asking you in this hour, what do you live for? What do you live for? What do you really live for? Do you just live for you? Are you the only thing on your mind? Are you one of these I, me, my mind people? It's all about me, all about me, all about me. Remember I told you at the beginning of the conversation, God separating out everything developed in the flesh versus everything developed in love and by the Spirit. Is it God developing your house and building it, or are you your own brick maker? Because acquiring things shouldn't be our only goal in life. We're living for things when they capture our heart or when they divide our mind. We become double-minded and they consume our time. When you get some things, some people are so consumed with money, they got to have more and more and more and more and more. And what they've been given is never enough. They're never satisfied. It's kind of like the people who don't know how to respect boundaries. God's given them a great spouse. He's given them a ministry. He's given them all these things, yet they're never satisfied. You want to know why? Because their heart is consumed with self. It's self-focused. That's childishness. When I was a child, I acted as a child. Now that I become a man or a woman, I'm putting away all childlike ways. Who are you focused on? Because when you put God first, you begin living eternity's value with the right view in mind. Which leads us to Psalm 7, 1 through 17, where it talks about liars amongst us. In the church and in the world, it's based on those who just want to please man. They just want to suck up and brown nose. Let's call them what they are. I'm using today's terminology because it's the truth about what we're dealing with. They're just little brown nosers. They're two-faced. Have you ever heard of that makeup called two-faced? I thought, what an appropriate gift to give somebody. Woo, that would not be godly though. I'm sorry. But I saw the name and I thought, oh Lord. But it's what we're dealing with in today's time. And David dealt with this with a man by the name of Cush. And we don't know what Cush said about David, but Cush was obviously trying to impress Saul in slandering another. Do you get your jollies off slandering people, getting caught up in the latest gossip? Or did you hear about that speaker? Did you hear about that leader? Oh, they left their wife and they left their kids and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shut up. You don't know. Just shut up. I'm going to be blunt. If you can't say something nice about somebody, love expects the best of people. It expects the best, whether they're acting their worst. It covers. True love covers. It's none of my business. It's none of your business to be in somebody else's marriage or business or life if God hasn't called you to it. Are you their spiritual advisor? Are you their mentor? No, I hardly think so. Are you their friend? If you don't have a relationship, mind your own business. That's godly. That's honor. And that's pureness. And they'll respect you for it in the end, for letting them work out their weaknesses with the Lord and with those they have fellowship with. We're not everybody's God. That's another issue in the body of Christ right now. It's another issue in the world. This whole stupid little thing right here, you see this dumb little thing, this gadget? This has given the body of Christ this false sense of reality of thinking it's our business to be in everybody else's business. You want to know how? You do it when you get on Facebook. You do it when you get on Instagram or on any social media program that leads us to think this false reality that it's our business to know everything about everyone, making us think that we're God, that we have the right to judge. Who do we think we are? Who do you think you are? Judge not, lest you be judged. But Cush was like this. And when we have a Cush in our lives, We have to do what David did. We need to start with ourselves first. How well do you start with yourself first? Even when you're innocent. Do you make it a habit to go to the Lord first? You don't go run to your best friend or your pastor or whatever. You go to God. God, did I open the gate here? Is there something in me that did this? Because if it is, please deliver me. Take me through healing. I don't want this. I don't want to hurt anybody. But we need to start going to God first. And we need to stop acting like we've got it so figured out, like we're Joe Super Christian. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can't fall. Like I see this even when I started with the conversation at the beginning of this conversation and telling you about what I experienced with the slander in church because of my own background. None of those goofballs know me. They don't know me now. They didn't know me then. They don't know you if they judged you in your past then. They don't know you now, probably. You want to know why? Because they didn't care to get to know you, because they were too self-focused and too arrogant. What do you want to call it, Lord? What else was it? It was too pharisaical, thinking that they're holier than thou when they were a son of hell, if not twice the son of hell that you acted like when you were in sin. So who the hell were they to judge any of us, right? Let's call it what it is. That's what they did to David. We're calling things for what they are today. Because if we don't get honest, God will start disciplining us. He already is. He'll punish and discipline the heart who refuses to acknowledge its own shortcomings, especially if that heart is a leader or serving in any religious capacity. If that heart is in covenant, which is already a big, huge no-no if you already know God. But if you're married, then you're doing a double whammy on yourself. And you're looking for a bruising for demanding your own way. But let God be the judge, because his judgment's always right. And we don't always see ourselves or others the way God sees. Only God knows the heart. Only God knows the heart, guys. Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to see everybody this afternoon. But it's always best to let God handle the judgment of others. Which means I don't care what you think you've heard or you know about someone else around you. Matter of fact, you shouldn't either. You shouldn't even care. If someone tries to talk to me about other people, you know what my first comment is? Shut up. I don't want to hear your crap. I don't want this garbage in my backyard. I got enough to clean up. I got a whole day's work ahead of me. I don't need you adding to it. Go somewhere else and dump your crap somewhere else. I'm not their judge. Nor would I ever want to make someone feel unloved for having participated in that kind of behavior. I don't care if they're wrong. I'm not their judge. You're not their judge. Only God knows the heart of those individuals and what got them into that situation. You don't know the pain that drives people. Nobody knew the pain that drove me back then. And the people that made a difference in my life were the loving leaders. I still have one in my life today. She's one of my number one prayer partner, as a matter of fact. And she's seen the good, the bad, and the ugly about me. And you know what? She's never said, I told you so. She's never said, here, let me teach you about the Christian ethic program. She never said anything like that. She's never acted like a Pharisee. She'd just say, you know, honey, I'm going to pray for you. That's all she'd say. If I'd come to her and express my concerns, I'm going to pray for you. And I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am. But our only job is to lend prayer if you're a pure-hearted leader and a pure-hearted sheep. Hopefully, also to give sound advice through Christ on your life. Because you know what? You may be in the only Jesus that person ever really sees. And you have no idea how many hearts come back. And they've done this to my life. They're like, Missy, thank you for not judging me. Thank you for not judging me. I am not your God. I am not your God. For crying out loud. But we always need to be giving God thanks when he does the judging on our behalf. Especially when innocence is affected, because it does matter when men and women slander others. It matters. Because if they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. And the truth be known is that nobody knows our circumstances better than Christ. Nobody knows. Which brings us to Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 as we wrap up today. And you know, it's interesting to me. I love it when, that's why I like authentic people, actually. I really, really appreciate authentic leaders and blunt leaders, because I am blunt. I is blunt. And if you notice, as we enter into moving closer to Christ in the end times, how blunt God is getting, how blunt the prophets are getting. They're like in your face blunt. They're in your face, in your face. They're doing it. If you notice, they really are. They really, really are. And you want to know why that is? It's because the closer you get to God, God is the way, the truth, and the life. And the closer you get to truth, the more truthful you become. You become more truthful with yourself, more truthful with God, but also with others. You can't help it, because that's the part of His Spirit He's imparting into you. You just become that, more loving, but you're also able to be truthful with yourself. The farther you are away from love, the less truthful you are with yourself and others. Did you know that? Just saying. I hate that statement, by the way. I don't like that statement. I retract that. I am just telling you the truth. So, yeah, that's a good thing to know too, James. That's a wonderful thing to know. When you feel okay with yourself, when you feel like you're on the up and up with the Lord, and He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you're like, yeah, I'm good to go. I don't live in shame. I do not live in shame. I have a past. I don't care if you know it. I'm not hiding anything. Here it is. Dissect it all you want. Here, I'm going to unfold all my wares. Here, take it all. Write a book about it. I did. It's in my book, Memoirs. You can go buy it. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to be ashamed about. And people that try to keep you locked into shame because of your past or the testimony God was helping you to develop, they're the ones who need counseling. I pity them. I really pity them, because actually they're the ones who don't want to change. You're the one that's changed. God moved you on, but they've chosen to stay stuck in your past. You're just a constant reminder of what they chose not to do. It's not my problem. Not your problem. But Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 states this. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. Whew. Are you encouraged? Are you overwhelmed? Do you need a Vicodin? No, I'm joking. Was that a little intense? I can't help it. I have to say what He's telling me to say. I can't help it. If you're just joining us for the 15-Minute Rev, thanks for joining us today. I want to welcome you. I do these on Mondays and Fridays. In the 15-Minute Rev, we talk about tough issues. I talk about tough topics because that's the mandate God's given me. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. You're welcome to join us on Mondays and Fridays. I rev you up for the week and then hopefully for the weekend. And as we move into C2, our goal is to actually kind of help people come back to the love and come back to the glory, come back to the honor. I miss the honor. I do. I miss the honor. I miss honorable people. But the few good ones that I meet in between, man, you're like little treasure chests. But when I find you, I'm like, I found another one. Put them in my backpack. All right, let's go find another one. You're like little treasure troves. You really, really are. Because good people are really few and far between in this day and time. Pure-hearted people are. But I praise God for you. So with that, I won't keep you any longer. I know you guys want to get on with your weekend. But thanks for joining me today. I hope to catch you on Monday. Make sure you go subscribe. You can subscribe on my YouTube channel. I'm also on Rumble. Go check me out at MissyH123 on Rumble so you never miss a rev. I've just started getting back onto YouTube. We're going to be on here for a while. God had me go off for a short minute. Now He's got us back, hopefully, for a while. But thanks a lot for joining us, and we love you guys. Have a great weekend. See you then.